In der heutigen Folge spreche ich mit Courtney Taidona. Courtney ist TikTok-Queen, Business-Coach und sie unterstützt Frauen dabei, zu erkennen, wer sie selbst sind und von dort aus ihr Business strategisch zu skalieren. Courtney und ich waren im letzten Jahr für 6 Monate gemeinsam in einer Mastermind und hatten die Gelegenheit, das Wochenende, bevor wir diese Podcast-Episode aufgezeichnet haben, gemeinsam an einem VIP-Retreat teilzunehmen. In dieser Folge nehmen wir dich auf der einen Seite ein bisschen rein mit in dieses Retreat. Wir sprechen darüber, wie sie Business sieht in ihre Geschichte, in ihre Challenges, die Challenges, die sie immer wieder auch erlebt hat. Wir sprechen auch darüber, was es tatsächlich bedeutet, große Räume zu füllen und auch zu halten. Denn Courtney hat ein sehr besonderes Businessmodell. Sie hat keinerlei One-on-One-Clients. Sie arbeitet ausschließlich im Gruppensetting, füllt große Räume, steht für Viralität, steht für Sichtbarkeit. Und ich bin beyond excited, sie hier im Shyam's Higher Podcast begrüßen zu dürfen. Und diese Folge wird auf Englisch sein. Das heißt, hol dir deinen Stift. Hol dir deine Notizen, mach dich bereit, denn in dieser Folge werden so viele Goldnuggets auf dich warten, die du unbedingt festhalten möchtest. So viel zur Einleitung. Lass mich gar nicht mehr lange um den heißen Brei herumreden. Ein herzliches Willkommen an Courtney Taidona und viel Spaß mit diesem Value-Packed Interview. Wir alle lieben dieses Geräusch. Doch was wir noch viel mehr lieben, ist, wenn dieses Geräusch zum Standard wird. Lückenlos, jeden einzelnen Tag, mehrfach. Und das nicht auf Basis einer Businessführung, die zwar profitabel ist, aber überall zwickt, sondern nur mit 100% Fuck Yes Energy durch das Errichten unseres Unapologetic Uncompromised Empire, das auch dann für uns arbeitet, wenn wir es gerade selbst nicht tun. The Shyam's Higher Way eben. Und damit herzlich willkommen im Shyam's Higher Podcast. Ich bin Ramona Ochsenbauer, Gesicht, Herz und CEO von Shyam's Higher, dem Zuhause angehender Multiple Six- und Seven-Figure Personal Brands, die lernen wollen, wie Business wirklich funktioniert. Du bist nicht hier für Kompromisse. Du bist hier, um deine eigenen Regeln zu schreiben. So fasten your seatbelt, because your unapologetic, uncompromised empire is waiting. I am beyond excited to welcome Courtney Taidona on the Shyam's Higher podcast. And I just introduced you into the German market to my people. And so let's dive directly into it. Let me, no, I won't say anything that that will introduce you, because the best thing, the best part, the best one who can introduce you is you.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing? Who are you working with? What's the core of your work? Who is Courtney?
I love this so much. This is so fun too, because like Ramona and I literally just came back from a retreat together in person. So now we have like such a deeper connection. I'm so glad that we're doing this podcast together. So I'm so glad that I'm here for all of the incredible women, the German market. This is so amazing. So as Ramona said, I'm Courtney. I will give a little background of how I got started. I've actually never worked like a real job before. I dove right into entrepreneurship when I was 19. I very quickly realized that going down the traditional route, while there's nothing wrong with that, was just not what I wanted to do. I was always someone that questioned everything and was a little bit of a rule breaker growing up. So I initially stepped into entrepreneurship as a personal trainer. And my love was always just helping people, with serving people. And I grew up an athlete. So that's how I kind of stepped into entrepreneurship. I was like 18 or 19. And I grew that business quite successfully for 8.5 years. And I then realized I loved business. I loved entrepreneurship. I, you know, grew my personal training business so much that I was getting other people asking me, how are you launching your programs and how are you signing clients? And in August of 2021 is when I made the switch into what I do now, which is helping women grow their business in all different industries. But what I really say that I help people do is I really just wake women up to who they are and how they express that through their business, whether that is personal training, whether that is business coaching, whether that is nervous system regulation. Like, I work with so many different industries. And at the core of what we do is, I always say, like, we're here to make what I call FU money. It's, you know, changing that generation. I know so many people resonate with, as young entrepreneurs, I always felt like I was called to be the one to be the first millionaire in my family, the one to, I didn't grow up in a family of entrepreneurs. So there were a lot of challenges in terms of people judging me, people not understanding my pathway, but that's something at the core of what I love to teach my clients to do is beyond the strategy, it's the identity. It's being the woman who changes that narrative. So everybody in your family gets to be different because of you. So at the deeper level, that's what I really love doing. I am a strategy girly through and through, but I will always dive into and riff on the identity shifts, the leadership sh shifts of who you need to be. Because in 12-ish years of entrepreneurship, like I know you know this too, Ramona. It is not a linear path. It is ups, it
Oh,
is down.
yeah.
And I'm always such an advocate for sharing the truth, the real side of entrepreneurship, because I think the more that we share the truth, the more we can actually build leaders in this industry that don't fall away or don't give up when challenges happens or when we go through valleys. So that's always been such a core belief of mine because yeah, the more we share the truth, the more women understand entrepreneurship isn't this. It's
Yeah.
it's all over the place, but it's falling in love with the journey. And that's been a really big realization for me in the last, I would say, 2 years for sure.
I love that so much because we just talked about it before we started the recording that you see such successful women and you think like, okay, it's so easy. She's so lucky. Everything is falling into place like that.
Yeah.
And that for I love. I'd love deeply to dive into your story. How did your way look like? Who was
Yeah.
Courtney before she was this widely successful? So a successful business owner.
Yeah, I love this. And I always say that I always love to remind people, no matter how much money you make, you're not exempt from being a human and feeling the feels. So I still
Yeah.
have moments of confusion, moments of doubt, moments of like, what are we like? It doesn't go away. And I think it's so important for people to know because I definitely had the thought that once I hit my first six figures, then everything's amazing. And I got to my first six figures and I was like, oh, there's still challenges here. So when I first stepped into, entrepreneurship with this business in late 2021, the biggest challenge, and there's always challenges at every season, but the biggest one that I experienced was I tried to fit in. And I think everybody across the board has experienced that. The word authority was thrown around a lot. And I thought the way that I had to be successful and sign clients was by doing it the way everybody else was doing it, looking at what she was doing and trying to kind of pick and choose different strategies. And in that, I lost who I was. I lost my voice. I, went so far as doing photo shoots in a blazer because I thought if you wore a blazer, then you were taken seriously.
Love
And
it.
I'm someone that, I'm not a fashionista. Like I don't even own a blazer. I had to borrow all of the clothes from my sister. But that was a really hard challenge was, building a business. But behind the scenes, I had no idea who I was because I was trying to fit in. So that was the first challenge. And I really believe that it's always an ongoing evolution of you figuring out who you are. And in the world of social media, it's easier to copy. It's easier to look at on TikTok, on Instagram, and see what everybody else is up to. It's harder to stay in your own lane. And that's something that I think we're always working on, we're always evolving in. So that was one of the first challenges that I experienced. The other one that I think everyone also goes through is getting hate online. I had a lot of people, and I still do, and it's okay. I've made so much peace with it. I always say, like, we're not here to be liked, we're here to lead the right women. So when I started speaking up about my truth, about what I believed in, there naturally were people that disagreed, that didn't like that. I am someone that grows really quick. I'm not interested in being complacent, hitting a goal, and then relaxing. And I outgrew a lot of people, a lot of clients. And again, that upset a lot of people. So in the beginning, I am someone that just deeply cares so much. I use that as a reason to pull back. I use that as a reason to turn the dial down on my voice, where now I'm like, let's get louder because it is reaching the right women. So I think everyone experiences that in some way, shape, or form. And then the other biggest challenge that I think everybody experiences is the biggest challenges don't always happen in business. It's life outside of business. So
Yes.
I've experienced So a lot of challenges, with my family dynamic, with, things that have needed my attention while I'm in the middle of a launch, or I'm traveling and then things are happening back at home. And that's, I think, where so many women take their foot off the gas, where I really love to encourage women to use that. Like, anger is fuel, frustration is fuel. And I love encouraging women that that's actually where the growth is in the challenges. Like, it's now, it's my favorite part, because if you're not experiencing a challenge, you're not growing. And the same challenge will continue to come up in different renditions until you move through it, until you learn the lesson. And on the other side, there's going to be another challenge, but you just are able to move through it faster.
I love that so much because most people try to avoid challenges. Like, I have to be ahead of the challenge. I have to be faster than the challenge to avoid
Yeah.
it. But in fact, we are growing in this process while we are trying to handle these things that we didn't expect that they
Yeah.
could potentially come up. And you were talking about the blazers. I love that story because was it that one moment in which you realized, like, this big breakthrough of, okay, I'm not that blazer girly, I'm not that fashionista, I can be who the fuck I am, and people will love
Yeah.
me for that? Or was it more a process?
It was a little bit of both. I remember this moment vividly. I was walking my dog Skittles, and I was talking to my coach at the time, and I was saying that, I wasn't having fun in business. And she was like, "What do you mean? Like, you're not having fun?" And it was something for her that was so obvious. Like, you should be having fun. Like, we love what we do. Is every single day sunshine and rainbows? No. But she was like, "You should be having fun. Business should feel like play. It should feel like you." And in that moment, it kind of was so obvious, but it like hit me like right in the face. And I was like, I'm literally not having any fun. I would wake up and it was like, what are the rules I need to play by? Like, what post do I? And none of that felt fun. And because of that, I wasn't magnetic online. Consistency was a little bit harder. So when I realized business doesn't have to be so serious, business gets to feel like play. It gets to feel like you're a little kid, like running around your house so excited. That was a big moment where I actually scrapped my entire business. Like, I got rid of all of my offers almost like overnight. And I was like, fuck this. Like, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. And that's really been a motto that I live by now when it comes to launching, when it comes to selling, when it comes to working with certain clients, like saying yes or no. If it's not fun, if it doesn't bring me joy, why, like, why even bother? So that was something that happened, I believe it was June of 2022. And that summer, I got rid of all of my programs. I really stopped paying attention to what anybody else was doing. I did a photo shoot where I was like in a bikini. I was on like my very first retreat because that was me. And that's also where this saying in my community, you get paid to be who the F you are, came from. And people started hiring me more because not because of the blazer, but because I was just being me and I got rid of the blazers. I started expressing who I was. It's also when I got on TikTok and it was like, here is Courtney, the unfiltered, the raw version of me, take it or leave it. And people loved that because it became a permission slip, I think, for other women to take off their metaphorical blazers, to break the rules of following what everyone else is doing. And I think the biggest part of entrepreneurship is individuality, is innovation. Like, I don't look like Ramona. Ramona doesn't look like me. Our brands are very different. We can teach on similar things, but our story and who we are makes us different, which is why someone would hire her over me. And that was a really big moment for me where it was like, I actually want to have fun. Business is meant to feel like play, which is now such a core value in a business. I'm like, I have the time of my life every single day. But it took going through that challenge and sitting with that discomfort. But more importantly, figuring out, okay, if I'm not Courtney in a blazer, then who am I? And that was a challenging conversation to sit with because then I had to actually figure out who I was and then express that online.
The part with the having fun and then the results come is the most important part because most people think as soon as I get the results, then I'll have fun, then I'll have joy, then I'll be happy. And this is the false way. So it's the wrong way around. And you just mentioned that there was this point of I realized, okay, I have to be who I am, and then people will love it. But how did
Yeah.
you figure out who you are?
Oh, I love this question. There's so much like depth to that. I always say like entrepreneurship is not about going to the next level, but about peeling back the layers to who you really are. So from a identity perspective, I did a lot of reprogramming on childhood around money. I really had this conversation. If I was told when I was younger, money doesn't grow on trees, okay, well, that was a narrative that's been passed down. That's not actually mine. So then what is my belief? So I did a lot of that peeling back the layers of narratives I was told growing up or what I saw modeled for me, the rules of the industry. And I really sat with them all and I allowed myself space. I would say that's the biggest thing when you're trying to really figure out who you are, is give yourself that space. And in that space, there's going to be discomfort. Like, let's just say that right off the bat, because it's so much, like I said, it's easier to look online and model what someone else is. It's harder to sit in silence and figure out, who am I? Why are these feelings coming up? What do I want to create? How do I want to lead? So in the beginning, it was a lot of question marks. I actually didn't have the answers, but I trusted that they would come through. So I started looking at, from a belief perspective, what do I believe about business? What do I believe about money? What do I believe about success? And that's where I started untangling things that were passed down from my family. And I started making my own rules up. I always say, like, entrepreneurship is a game. You get to make the rules. So one of the rules was I 10X everything. That wasn't something that was passed down, but it was like, I actually believe deep down that's who I am. So I started acting differently from this new belief. The other thing I started doing as well, I mean, really simple, I know it sounds easier said than done, is I did do a lot of putting my phone down. I stopped consuming because, again, if we're scrolling on social media, on TikTok, stalking that girl on Instagram, you're blocking that opportunity for you to figure out who you are outside of what everybody else is doing. So I know it sounds so simple, but you will have so much more energy when you just put your phone down. And I know we even experienced this last week on the retreat. We're like, oh my God, like your nervous system, like your mindset, like everything is so much more clear. And then I really did start to look at what are the things that I'm doing in business that don't actually bring me joy. So I was doing a lot of live launching. I was doing a lot of live master classes, and I was doing them just to do them. I wasn't doing them because I actually believed in them or because I actually wanted to. So that's how I also was able to find my way of becoming successful in business. And finding out who you are, like, we're never done. Like, I'm still finding out who I am. And it's just having these layers peeling back. I think the biggest thing is being committed to the journey and committed to the discomfort. Into there were a lot of moments, and I still have them now, where I'm like, who am I? Like, what are we doing? But I love those moments because in that space is where I get the answers.
It's the same like loving the challenges. It's loving the discomfort. Like knowing when it's discomfortable, I'm growing. I'm coming closer to my true self. And you were also talking about breaking the rules or redefining the rules. And I remember you saying last weekend that when you joined the TikTok space, everyone was talking about making short videos. And you were like, okay, I don't want to do like 7 to 20 second videos. I want to take more space. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so kind of similar to what we've been talking about is I didn't want to follow what everybody else was doing. And I didn't want to do a strategy just because that's what TikTok guru said to do. I wanted to one, find my own way. And I love doing this a little bit where I see certain trends online and I'm like, let me do the opposite. Or I give myself the opportunity to actually sit with, do I want to do this? Or is this something I'm trying to do because I think that's the right way? So when I got on TikTok, like you said, everyone was the way to blow up on TikTok is do short form videos with a trending audio. For me, even when Reels came out and everyone was doing like the pointing Reels, immediately I was like, absolutely not. Like, it just didn't feel like me. Or again, the past version of me would have just powered through it because, well, that's what's trending or that's the rules. But again, there was no fun and joy in that. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it my way. I want to actually connect with people. I don't want to do dancing TikTok videos with trending audios that have no depth to it. So I started doing face to camera only talking videos. This was when TikTok only allowed you to do a 60 second video. So I crammed in so much value, but it
Wow.
was different. Everybody was doing short form. Everyone was doing trending audios. No one was using their voice. So when I came up on the explore page, people were like, oh, this is different. And again, there's only so much value you can give in a 5 second TikTok video, where I was delivering so much value in a 60 second video. So because it was different, because I gave myself again that space to be like, do I want to do this, or am I just doing this because this is the rules of TikTok? That's when people, my TikTok started really gaining a lot of traction. And I always say, like, we've built a community on TikTok that nobody can replicate. And I truly believe it was because in the beginning of when I started my journey on TikTok, I went the other way. So I always love looking at that. And there's nothing wrong with short form TikToks with B-roll. Like, I have clients that still do it, but the point is they love doing it. It's not, they have to do it because that's the rules. And, you know, so many people talked about 60-minute or 60-minute master classes. Like, that's the way. And I'm like, I literally hate them. Are there other ways to do lead generation? Absolutely. Okay, let me find my unique way of doing it. So that was a big part of my TikTok journey, but it became this permission slip in all areas of business of I'm really going to do it my own way. And other people started doing long form pieces of content on TikTok, or even, I know we were talking about this last weekend too at the retreat, TikTok stories. I sell on TikTok stories, and I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I never saw
You
anybody.
absolutely can.
Yeah, like toot, toot, toot. I never saw anybody in our industry that was selling coaching packages or services use TikTok stories to sell. So I was like, okay, like let me test it out. Let me, if it works, amazing. If it doesn't, I'm detached. And nobody sells on TikTok stories the way that I do. Like, I probably now to date have sold over $100,000 from TikTok stories that are 60 seconds face to camera on TikTok stories. Now everyone's selling on TikTok stories. Now I have trainings of like how to sell on TikTok stories. So that was another thing. Everyone was using their stories on TikTok for like, here's my coffee, or like, here's my dog. And again, there's no right or wrong. It was just, well, I don't want to do that. So what do I want to do instead? And I ended up paving a new way for people to leverage TikTok stories.
And I think we could talk a lot about TikTok now, because for me, you're just the TikTok queen. I found you in first place. The first things I saw from you were on TikTok. I just remember how I watched your videos back then, like 1.5 years ago. And for me, you're always like, okay, Courtney is TikTok, the TikTok queen. And
Yeah.
at the same time, when I think back to last weekend, we were a lot mastermind. We had a lot of time to mastermind. We were talking about so many different things. And the thing that I remember most is that you don't have any one-on-one clients. You have
Yeah.
some high proximity spaces, yes, but first and foremost, you love to hold large rooms. And I think it would be super valuable when we dive into how your business model looks like.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts behind not having any one-on-one clients? And maybe also answering the question why you wouldn't do it again exactly that way.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. So I completely got rid of, I think I made a post on it earlier this year. I think it was January of 2024, where I'm like, I don't do private coaching. Now, I from the beginning was told like you have to sell out your private coaching before you can sell a group program. And again, I was like, I don't really want to do that. So for me, sit like this whole conversation, which I love so much, I really understood how do I want to lead my clients? Who do I want to be? Where does me as a mentor thrive? And it was always in big groups. And when I was in front of a class, my energy was like through the roof. I was like soul on fire. And it's the same thing now. Like, give me the virality, give me the mass communities, give me the stage, give me a Zoom call with 50 people in. That's where I thrive as a mentor. Not that intimate conversations and one-to-one coaching isn't valid. So again, I came to this conclusion, and there was a lot of fear because when I initially closed down my one-to-one coaching, yeah, we took a little bit of an income dip because I would take 3 to 4 one-to-one clients at a time. That was around, I think I charged at that time $2,000 to $2,200 or US dollars. So there was an income dip. But again, it created more space for fun, more play, and more of an opportunity for me to really create offers on how I want to lead. So I don't offer private coaching anymore. And I think that is something that's different, that's unique, where a lot of people think you need high ticket one-to-one coaching to scale your business, where I've really, again, done the opposite. So I do think there's value for sure in high ticket offers. Like that's definitely been a way that I've been able to get to like 100K months is adding more higher ticket. But how my product suite looks right now is I have two offers, which makes, marketing and selling so simple. I have a membership, and that's where, again, I can hold, it's what I call a scalable offer. I could have 50 people join while I'm on recording this podcast, and I don't have to do any, like, it's all automated. Well, when I was looking with scaling, especially with TikTok, because I have the volume, is I'm able to hold what I call volume of clients without it taking up all one-to-one time. And then my core program is called Wildfire. That's where, that's kind of like my core offer for like everything. And then our entry tier is we do have calls, but I'm not in a group chat every single day. And I always say, if you have a capacity limit with all of your offers, your income is already capped. And for me, it wasn't just about my income being capped, it was my impact. I don't believe that my work is meant to be for five women in a group program and nothing else. Like, I want unlimited impact. So strategically, I had to look at my product suite to make sure that made sense. So I do have basically our mastermind, and that's where they have close proximity with me, but that's in a group setting. Nobody has one-to-one access with me. If people want one-to-one access with me, they can do like a VIP in-person weekend. But other than that, it's come into the group, come into this community. And that's where I think so many women, in my prediction, I think so many women are wanting more of that, wanting more community, wanting more culture, wanting more of these bigger groups, because in whatever work everyone's doing, there's so much value in the big groups. Like, I love being in the energy. I know when we were in the mastermind together, like the Wins channel, like asking each other's questions. I think there's so much value in that. And I wanted to create a space where women didn't need to see results based off of if I was on a call with them or if I was inside mentorship with them, because that's where I believe we create, clients that are very reliant on us. I wanted to build leaders. My clients right now can be having sales and masterminding with each other, and I get to be here and be present with you on a podcast. So that was, yeah, that was like the shift I made. And a lot of people, I've seen a lot of my clients come to the realization of like, I actually don't want one-to-one clients either. It was again that rule that everyone thought they needed to, but I truly believe I am someone that is meant to speak on stage, which we have spoke on stage. I love the virality. We have a really big following on TikTok, but it's not just vanity metrics. For me, it's based off of impact. I want to reach millions of people with my work, and the way that we do that is through these scalable offers. And I didn't want to cap my impact with just one-to-one clients.
This is so good. And I know I have some people in my community that also have this urge. Like, I want to impact millions of people. I want to be on stages. I want to fill large rooms. And at the same time, they are hiding behind their private client work. They are hiding behind small groups because there are two things that are standing in the way. On the one hand, the thought of, am I good enough to hold these big rooms? And on the other side, can I sell to so many people to fill that rooms? What would you recommend?
So I find selling bigger programs so much easier than selling small. And I know a lot of people, it's the same thing. Selling high ticket is so much easier than selling low ticket. So for me, what I really look at is I allowed myself to just see myself for who I was. And it's easy. Like I said, it's going to be easier. And not everyone listening to this podcast is going to go the distance and really claim that bigness. But I encourage all of you listening, like, if you're feeling in your heart and soul, like, I want to speak on stage, I want to write a book, that's actually where your zone of genius lies. That's where you're going to see bigger results. And it might be comfy, cozy where you're inside your private clients, but imagine the ripple effect that you would create if you took what you're doing with your private clients and put it in front of thousands. And that for me felt scary and stretchy, but that was me going on the adventure of, yeah, I can stay where I am and be comfortable. My income is capped because I can only take on so many one-to-one clients. And I knew that I was here to, like you said, lead thousands of people. So a big part of it was doing it afraid. Like, was I terrified to put that post out? Absolutely. Did some people not re-sign into my group programs? Absolutely. But it was like, I'm going to go anyways because I've been so committed to this is who I am and this is the pathway that I'm on. So that was a really big thing for me was, yeah, being able to just fully see me of I don't desire to do this anymore, and that's okay. And will some people come with me? Yes. And will some people not come with me? That's okay too. So that was, yeah, that was the big thing for me was doing the scary thing and not delaying it. So if you're listening to this podcast episode and you're like, I really want to do this, it's like I always say, like, words are amazing, but like, show me your actions. Like, go make that post, go sell that bigger offer. And another thing too, maybe more on the strategy side, when it comes to selling offers that are bigger, I personally like to give myself a longer launch cycle. I used to do a 2-week launch to fill a group program with 10 people. I like to do longer launch cycles because it gives me more time. The other thing as well, I would say in terms of filling bigger programs is going to be more of that truth content. So that's also content that, you know, it's not educational. It's not how my client went from A to B. If you want mass amounts of people in your offers and you want people to know your name, you have to become known. And that's going to come with what you stand for, who you are, what your truth is in terms of what your community is all about. So that, especially on TikTok, was a way that I've built such a really big community that's allowed that community to then funnel into my scalable offers.
I love how we have this common theme in this whole episode of
Yeah.
hunting the discomfort, of seeking the challenges, of putting yourself out there, of remembering, not only detecting, but remembering who the fuck you are. And this is something that is so important and at the same time so underrated. Most people are like, what do I need to do? What's the strategy? How should my hook look like to attract the right kind of people? And
Yeah.
it is the part of just freeing yourself in so many kind of ways, because also the part of hunting the discomfort, putting yourself out there, is the most freeing part. Because last month I had a podcast challenge running on this podcast, and I was talking a lot about things that happen to you versus things you create. So also discomfort can be something that happens to you,
Yeah.
or you can actively choose to be in the discomfort, and then it's nothing anymore that happens to you. And
Yeah.
I do every single day, I do something that is uncomfortable for me, that is out of comfort zone. Do you have
Yeah.
something similar for you in your daily business that you don't get too comfortable to, oh yeah, we are just doing this and that, and it's so cozy out here, we don't have
Yeah.
to go.
Yeah, I love that. I do love to what you just said is I do like to do things that make me uncomfortable. And I think that's how I've healed my relationship with discomfort, or you know, change is uncomfortable, but I'm constantly in it. And that's why I love it so much. So one of the things I love to do is, you know, I set goals. Beginning of January, I would take whatever your goal was for 2025, 10x it. Then you're going to be forced in the best way possible to make change a lot different than if you went with whatever your original goal was. So that's a big thing is I operate in a mentality of like what I did last year, I'm not going to add on like 5% and do it this year. It's like I'm going to 10x it. And because of that, I'm stretched and I have to move differently. The other thing is I don't give my brain enough time to talk me out of it. So if I say I want to make this post and it's a little bit spicy, go post. I don't, okay, maybe should I think about it? Or I don't give myself that opportunity. So from scary thought to action, like the time in between is very small. The other thing I like to do, it's so simple, but if I'm feeling nervous, or you know, there's been times where I'm going Instagram live or I'm about to let 40 people into a Zoom room and you know, the nerves come in, I'm like, 3, 2, 1, go. So again, it's moving faster because I think fear lives so much in our mind. By the time you take the action, you're like, oh, like that actually wasn't that scary, or that actually was so exhilarating. So that's one of the things is I do like to collapse the time between idea to actually me executing it, like idea to action. I don't give myself, well, let me do that next week. It's similar to what we were saying at the retreat. It's like, do it now, do it now, do it now. And that's where you can experience fear, but you don't live in fear.
This is so good. And I don't want to take the speed out of this conversation, but I have a question that I love to ask because you get to know someone so well when you have this question answered.
I
What was
love
the last book you have read? Would you recommend it? And if yes, why? And if no, also why?
it. Ooh, I'm still reading this book, but I've read it so many times and I always reread it this time of year. It's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. Highly recommended. I probably read this book 4 times a year, and every time I read it, it just unlocks so much in my mind. But his work, I've always been a really big fan of because he's able to take what I call like the woo-woo work, like the manifestations, like how we create our own reality. And I remember when I was first getting into understanding this, it felt very like airy-fairy to me. I didn't understand. Like, I can be such a practical person where I'm like, tell me the how, like, how does this actually happen? So he does a phenomenal job of kind of breaking down from a very scientific perspective of like how our brain actually creates loops with our thoughts and our feelings and our reality. And yeah, that's been a book that it's one of those books that once you read it, you can't go back. You can't go back to old habits. You can't go back to thinking the way that you were thinking before. You're so much more conscious. And that's been a book that's unlocked so much for me and who I am, how I move. So I always recommend that book. But yeah, I'm like almost done that book, but I have read it a million times. So that would be the book I would recommend.
Yeah, I have done some meditations from Joe Dispenza, but
Yes, I know you were talking about that.
I think I didn't have read a book yet. I know I had one. He has one that's more about health, but I
Okay, yeah.
never
I guess that's
started
also
to read
really.
it. But
Yeah.
maybe I will go with this one.
It's my favorite. Of all the one that's a little bit more that you're talking to, he has another one. I think it's called Supernatural, which is also great. But yeah, Supernatural is really good. But I don't know. There's something about breaking the habit of being yourself that it's just one of the things where you're reading it and you're like, what? Like it just blows your mind so much. So yeah, I'll probably reread it again in the new year because every time I read it, I just get something deeper out of it.
Thank you for the recommendation. I think I will start reading it today or tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll have to
He
let me know because
loves
I know
speed.
you do his meditations too, so that'll be like such a perfect marriage.
Yeah, perfect. And when I think about last weekend, we had so many underrated moments, so many moments that are from the outside are like, okay, it is, no, I just wanted to say it's like normal, but I think
Yeah.
if anyone who could have observed us, nothing what we did was normal to normal people. We did so
Yeah.
many cool things and the conversations were so potent. And the evening I love to think or to remember is, I think it was Friday night. I'm
I don't
so
even
out
know.
of
Yeah, all
time.
the dates blurred together.
Totally. I think it was Friday night. And we were talking about, we met Gil. That was great. And we also had this question of, what kind of business would you build if suddenly there was no internet at all? We have electricity, but we don't have any internet. And I loved your answer. And so, would you mind sharing what kind of business you would build if there was no internet left? You have no chance to go online. You have electricity, but that's it.
Yeah, I think my answer was that I would create a messenger business. Yeah. So yeah, I love that. It was essentially my thought process there was looking at what's always going to be a need in the marketplace. Like I always again like to look at, okay, what's a problem? So if people don't have internet and they're not able to communicate from one place to another, then what's a way I can fill that gap? So for me, it was like I would create like a messenger agency where I would hire in people where people could submit in their messages and then we would have people that would move over and communicate that message to them. So yeah, I don't know where that came from that conversation that we had, but I remember last retreat we were asked that question and I forget what my answer was. I think it was something if we lost like the sun, like what would you do? I don't even remember what my answer was, but yeah, it was like build a business based on people sharing other messages and having someone like travel to down the street or to another country to allow people to communicate the way that the internet is able to connect us now.
Yeah, I love this kind of questions because we are forced to think out of the box. And what most people do when they are running their business is like just thinking inside the box all the time. What is she doing? What is he saying? What shall I do? How should I do it? And I think this is the best way to end this episode because it sums up all the things you were saying, like just be yourself, do your own thing. Create new rules, not just break the old rules, but create your own. And if there's something you want to add to all the things that are already being said that every woman needs to hear on her way to seven figures, what would it be?
I always remind myself of this, but stop thinking that your soul wasn't written for this. Because there's always a big, I've always felt this and I've seen this with clients, and I know everyone listening here, because again, if you're in Ramona's world, I know you have a big vision. Is there something deep that is calling you? This. And the more that you ignore it, the more that you don't get to like get to the end of your life and know who you are. So for me, when I think about building a seven-figure business, like you said, so many people are like, okay, what's the offer and what's the launch process? Where the way that you get those answers so much faster is allowing yourself to fully see yourself. Like, when was the last time you asked yourself and allowed yourself to go there? I remember for me, you know, I wanted a but I was terrified to go there. And I came back to this of like, stop thinking your soul wasn't written for this. When there's challenges and you're like, can I handle this? Stop thinking your soul wasn't written for this. When you're like, I want to 10x everything, it's you're on this pathway. If you have this calling, this feeling, like whatever that language is for you, it's because you're meant to live out. And I'm so excited for everyone on this episode to just live that out and the journey. That's the other thing I would say is don't worry about the destiny. About crossing the finish line. When you get to 20K months, you're going to want 30. When you get to 30, you're going to want 40. When you have 10 people in a program, you're going to want 12. Don't focus on who you become. And that's again where there's going to be challenges and hurdles and obstacles. And it's this energy of like play, challenge here, like that's been a big part for me that I always like sharing is like remembering who you are. Like you came here to do really big freaking things. And is it going to be hard? Yes. Are there going to be challenges? Yes. But you came here for like the whole ride. You didn't come here just to be like, yay, I built seven figures and then nothing else. Like I want everyone to get to seven figures and know that they experienced the journey, that they fell in love with the journey and not just crossed a milestone. And then they're like, I don't feel any different. So, yeah.
Wow, I love this episode so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Everyone who is listening to this episode, we put Courtney's TikTok and Instagram in the show notes. Make sure you follow her because it's totally worth it. Everything that she's saying will bring you back on track, will uncover who you really are, and bring you on the way that will make you seven figures while being yourself. Thank you, Courtney, for your time.
And thank you everyone for listening in.